This episode is brought to you by Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. Get a fantastic new gaming rig right now at doghousesystems.com and use the code FROGPANTS at checkout. That'll get you a nice SSD drive you didn't have before for free. That's doghousesystems.com and the checkout code FROGPANTS. Play games better at doghousesystems.com. And by SeatGeek, and I'll talk about them later in the show. On this episode of The Instance, Warlords is now part of the package. There's a big talent and spec change coming to Legion. Bunch of movie updates as well. Chromie's in the wild, and we have some thoughts on her, and we are on the eve of the Overwatch launch. Patrick's in Japan, and you know what that means. Let's do it.
Old habits die hard, I guess. Run home, kid. It ain't safe out here.
Listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. The Instance, episode 448. Talking all about the Blizzard things you love and want in your lives. I'm joined today all the way from, I don't know what it's like there, but it's in Japan, and it's Patrick, and he's mobile. He's out on the street. Patrick, what's going on?
Hey, I apologize for the background sound, but yeah, I'm in the middle or towards the end of my 3.5-day weekend traveling in the west south of the country, and I was in Miyajima a couple of days ago. You know that gate thing in the water? I'm sure you've seen the pictures, right? The red torii gate in the water.
Sure. The one you took, I saw that on Instagram or something. It was beautiful. My goodness.
Yeah. So I was there, and then I went to the there's a modern art island type of thing, which was pretty interesting. And now I'm in Okayama, and I had to find the quietest possible place I could find to do the show, because heaven forbid I wouldn't be, you know, I would leave you alone for the show. That couldn't happen.
So, no, we can't. Yeah. We can't be having that.
Cannot.
Yeah, Terpster's not around tonight, nor is Dills. I don't know where he is. He may be joining us. I've added him to the call. We'll see. But in the meantime, we got plenty to talk about. It's fine.
And
Patrick, yeah. And Patrick, listen, we are on the eve of the launch of Overwatch, which is tomorrow afternoon at like 4 o'clock my time.
Do you know why I cut that trip to that cultural, enlightening, amazing trip in the country of the rising sun, like specifically to be home on Monday evening, which is basically Tuesday, middle of the night for you guys?
Yeah.
Can you guess?
I'm having a hard time guessing, but I'm going to just take a stab in the wind and say Overwatch. That's why.
That might or might not be correct, depending on who asks.
Well, listen, you're in good hands over there. Hanzo and Genji have that city covered, so you'll be fine while you're on the show, because that's the stereotypic Japanese thing for me to say. And also, it's exciting times. The world is all a buzz about the launch of the game, and we'll have a lot to say about it a little bit later. We got a bunch of World of Warcraft stuff, including this. If you are live in the chat room right now and you want to win a beta key to get into Legion, World of Warcraft Legion, the current state of the beta, you can only get into that by being invited, and it's through keys again, not through account flagging, which I don't know what changed, but for whatever reason, that's the case. And I have 10 of these to give away, and I'm giving all 10 away at the end of the show. So you've got to hang around here, listen to us yammer on, and at the end of the show, you get some keys. Now, everybody at home who's not listening live, I apologize, but I'm trying to move these as quick as I can. If this goes well, we'll get another set, and we'll do more for the home listener.
And in order to win it, you have to guess which city I'm in right now.
That's right. Orca Hawa. Nope. Is that not it?
Did I say it in the beginning of the show? Maybe.
Akihabara.
Anyway, you don't have to guess. It's just Scott will just distribute them however well he wants.
Hanamura. That's where you are. Hanamura.
Yes, exactly. There you go. In my head, that's where I am.
All right. Well, in that case, we do have a lot to talk about. Let's just jump right into it. So hang tight, everybody. In World of Warcraft news, this is interesting. Warlords is now no longer a thing you have to upgrade to and buy separately the way you would have to buy Legion, as an example. The game is now baked into the core game, That means from vanilla all the way up until Warlords is now part of the $19.99 US dollars package that you have previously seen on the store. It used to be another $39 to upgrade to Warlords, and now whatever the new game is, I guess it's $49, whatever it is. But no, it's all baked in now. It's basically the game, including Warlords, including the boost to 100. Or no, wait. Doesn't include...
No.
Sorry, got
included.
That backwards. Got that backwards. It doesn't include the boost to 90 anymore, right?
Yeah, so basically you don't get the boost to 90 if you haven't bought Warlords. You get to keep it, of course, if you had bought it and hadn't used it, as is my case, because I already had, like, I don't know, 15 characters to 90. But yeah, no, you don't get the 90s boost, but you get the full Warlords game. And if you choose to buy Legion, of course, you will get the boost to 100.
Right. So it just gets everybody current and doesn't cost more money. And I feel bad for anybody who may have made the previous game's purchase the day before. There has to be someone like that. I don't know who that is, but someone somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people went out and bought Warlords, you know, 3 days ago. I don't think that would have happened, but maybe.
I'll bet one or two people did, and I'll bet they're pissed. And I'll bet they have some recourse. They probably can just go back to Walmart if they got it physically and take it back. Or they can call Blizzard if they got digital and just say, look, guys, you just changed it like a day later. Come on, give a guy a break.
I'm sure they would. But you also got the level 90 boost. So maybe some people, you know, were coming back after a while and thought, oh, I can get Warlords for however much and get the boost. And so it gets them back to experience Warlords at the proper level. But yeah, I'm sure, you know, Blizzard customer service is notorious for being, accommodating. So,
right. Okay. Let's just break this down for a second. You've got this much game for $19.99. I think regardless of how you feel about the current state of World of Warcraft or how you feel about Warlords and its rollout or its current state or any of those things, taking that all out of the equation, there is an awful lot of content on display here for $19.99, both in terms of gameplay, but also in terms of actual disk space required. It's like a, 38 or 40 gigabyte install for this thing.
Do you remember when it came on multiple, CDs or DVDs even? Back
I had that my first version of Vanilla was on CDs, which was crazy. Jeez. Dude. Like, you could get the DVD version, but 2004, very few people had DVD drives yet. It was kind of uncommon still. And these days, there are a lot of people just don't have any drives, like any optical drives at all. So, you know, installing this, like, on a new Mac or even some smaller profile PCs is a weird thing even today, and pretty much we've all gone digital. Yeah. But just think about what that was in 2004 compared to what it is today. It's a totally different beast.
So yeah, I think, I mean, there's definitely a lot of content in all of this. I think the people that this is going to be the most interesting for are people that didn't buy Warlords that have an account. You know, you might have had an account 5 years ago that you didn't touch for 5 years. And if if you pay for the subscription, or even you might get a few free days, I'm guessing they have some of those campaigns from time to time. But if you pay for the subscription again, you have the license. You have now all of the expansions. So you could just take it up from wherever you were, and you can just go all the way to the end of Warlords without paying for any of the expansions that have come out in the past few years.
Yeah.
So that might be a good, a fun thing to do for people who haven't touched the game in a while and are wondering where it is.
Yeah, if you haven't gone near WoW since vanilla, and I know people like that, this is a hell of a deal. I mean, this is just $20 and you're in. 30 days of game time, and bam, you're playing a pretty complete, pretty awesome game. And assuming that you may still have old accounts with level 60s in them,
But not even, wait, you're saying $20 and you're in. You're talking about what? That you don't need to buy the game. You don't need to buy anything. It's just the subscription, right?
Well, that's true. But if you buy the game, if you buy the base game retail, it's still $19.99. So if you go...
Right. No, but I mean, if you've ever had the game in your life, if you have the license on your account,
you don't need
to buy it, right?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. If you've got... You're totally right. If you have an existing account, so then it won't really affect those people. This is purely for new people, I guess. That's it.
Well, it's for new people, and again, for people who already have an account who didn't you know, have warlords. Now they have it. And again, they don't need to pay for anything. They just need to resub for a month, and they can play up to warlords without paying for any expansion.
This is
the base game.
Sure. This is the official word. Warlords of Draenor was added to World of Warcraft on Tuesday. We took a similar approach with the previous expansion prior to the launch of Warlords of Draenor, and the response was very positive. This makes it easier than ever for new players interested in upcoming Legion expansion to get into the game, and gives returning players a chance to catch up on the content prior to the new expansion's launch. Level 90 boosts are no longer available, though players who purchased Warlords of Draenor prior to this change will still be able to claim their included boost if they haven't. Players who want to boost a character can either pre-purchase Legion, which includes the 100 boost, or purchase a standalone level 100 boost, which is not currently in the game. But I just like it showed up late in Pandaria, before Warlords launched, I'll bet that boost to 100 shows up like a week or two ahead. Don't you think? Like, it'll just pop in there.
It'll be there at some point. I mean, I think for Warlords, the boost was the price of the expansion anyway.
Yeah.
So there's really no reason to just buy unless you want multiple boosts or multiple characters. But if you want just the one, you're going to buy the expansion, and it's going to cost you the same thing.
Well, the interesting thing about the expansion then, or when the boost then, was even though the expansion wasn't out yet, you could take your boosted character to the island. What was the damn island called?
The Time...
Timeless Isle, or Time... whatever it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, Timeless Isle.
That's it. Right. They could go there and start doing all those dailies and all that repeatable stuff and you know, kind of build your character out there. And so there was a lot to actually do if you boosted. It's not so much true now. Like, you can boost to... If you boost to 100 prior to this new expansion, let's say, what is it you'll be doing? Like, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I don't think it's really worth it. Boosting to 100, if you know, it's worth it if you want to start the expansion with your friends,
yeah,
and be at the same level. But right now, before the expansion launches, there's really no point. I'm sure someone might want to, but there's very little point boosting to 100. Just like there was little point boosting to 90 before Warlords came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people are saying in the chat room, well, you could do raiding. Well, yeah, but you're probably already either doing that. Why would you start that late? You need friends to do that. They don't want your low-ass level 100, no, you know, crappy gear dude in there yet. Like, there's a lot of reasons why that doesn't really work. South Shore PvP, is that still a thing?
I don't think it is.
That went away, right?
That was a joke, yes.
Someone suggested it in the chat, and I'm like, hold on a minute. That's not there still. That was there for like a hot minute, and it was right around the time everybody remembered that Molten Core was terrible, and that all got pulled out. So that's gone, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, good news, everybody. You can pay less and get more, I suppose. Let's talk about some talent and spec changes that happened in the Legion beta, said beta of which I will be giving 10 free accounts away at the end of the show for those who just joined us. So stay around in the chat room and we'll give those to you. All right, so changing specs in Legion will no longer cost any gold. So if you're used to doing it now, let's say you're a Beastmaster Hunter, you want to go to Marksman to do that, it's like whatever it costs, 1,000 gold or whatever it is.
Now in the beta... Right.
Currently in the beta, not in the game. Yeah.
Yeah, you have dual spec, of course, in the game. Now, the reason, I mean, probably you have to give a little bit of context for this. Basically, they got rid of dual spec in Legion. You don't have two different specs. You can just change whenever you want, and you could play all three specs if you want. And you have one spec that is called your main, and at that point, you can go back to it for free. So if you get called into a dungeon, you can go back to your spec for free and to your main spec, I mean, for free. But if you want to change to another spec, it costs you money. And they're getting rid of that.
Yeah, it will no longer cost you any gold at all.
Right.
Changing talents will be free in a city or your order hall. So that's important to know that. That's also for free in those two places. However, if you're out running around someplace... like changing talents in the field, as they put it, you're going to require a reagent crafting or a reagent crafted by inscription with a cost aimed at groups, is how they put it.
Right.
Now, that sucks. I want to change this stuff whenever I want, Patrick. I freaking hate it.
Well, Scott, here's why you don't want the game to work like that. The problem is, so talent changes were basically available anywhere, anytime, for anything, safe for, of course, when you were actually in combat, as is customary. But the problem is, it was so easy to change and it didn't cost anything. What ended up happening was that people would just respec when they were going from one fight to another. Since you only have, you know, three talents to choose from each talent row, it was very easy to just click a button, go to the UI, click a button, and just go do that, have that. For example, one of the examples Hazakostas was giving was you go from one fight to another, there's a little bit of a run, and you just activate the talent that gives you a run boost, a speed boost, and then you go back to whatever you're using in combat. That basically meant you didn't have talent specs anymore. It was just a cumbersome UI thing to change from one another. So it didn't really make sense to keep that. It was making the game sort of a different experience. And they want the game to specs to still matter a little bit. So I think I like this change. I think it
you think this is okay. All right. It's a decent trade off, I guess. I just, you know, the Diablo method of I'm going just to get mats today. So I want to have the rune affixed in the cube that lets me infinitely teleport without ever stopping. I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to change out these three abilities, and now I'm just going to go for it. And if in the middle of this I make a decision where I want to change something, I can either portal back and change the rune thing or the spec in the cube, or right there on the fly I can change what abilities I'm using and what runes are attached to those abilities. Like, that kind of freedom of talent expression is really fun, and I'm not saying they have to totally duplicate that here, but I felt like we were maybe heading towards something similar, and now this feels like a step away from it.
So the problem is, in WoW is a different game, right? And you can still do that in a city or an inn or anywhere you're in rested status. Mm-hmm. So you can still, you know, do it relatively easily, and there's still this material thing, this reagent thing that allows you to do it. But think about it. If you start having those talent respecs, which are completely inconsequential, yes, sure, when you're going to farm and then, you know, you see a mob and you want to fight it, then it probably makes it a little bit easier to change. But on the other hand, what also ends up happening is that for each fight in a raid or in a dungeon, you end up having to change your talent spec. So talent specs basically don't mean anything anymore. And given the nature of the game and how the gameplay is organized, I think it doesn't work as well as it does in Diablo. Diablo is so arcadey, so, you know, I blow everything up,
right,
that it, yeah, you can take the time to change your spec from here to there, but
there are plenty of Diablo 2 fans or old school Diablo fans that don't like how interchangeable everything is in Diablo 3. So I get that my opinion on that being a good system may not be even a great one, even in just Diablo. But as far as WoW is concerned, you make a good argument. I think you're right. And this feels like a decent compromise, but this feels like a good kind of middle way to go.
But I mean, even in Diablo, you know, you have all of those sets that change how you want to use your character. Really, if you want to completely change your talent build in Diablo, or your build, you must have multiple sets, because most of the time you have the one set that you really like and it's going to work in synergy with very specific spells. So yes, you can change the spells, but really you're not going to be optimal anyway if you're not using the right set for it. If you're anything beyond, you know, if you're going to Torment 2, 3, 4, you're probably going to have those specific sets that are part of the build. So it does restrict the talent build in a slightly different manner. So,
right.
I don't know.
Well, it says right now that currently the talent changes in the beta specifically are free and instant out of combat, which isn't restrictive enough, they say. The current build system that is going away worked like this. You could change from any spec to your primary spec for free, with your primary spec set as class trainer. or set at a class trainer, rather. Your first respec was free with a cooldown of less than 24 hours to reset the cool or the cost to free again. After that, respecs were 19, 39, 58, and capping at 78 with 24-hour cooldown in to drop one cost level each time you change specs. So, interesting roadblocks and to try to handle all of that, but this sounds like they're simplifying it, but still keeping it restrictive enough in a way that doesn't feel like just willy-nilly spec changing on the fly whenever you feel like it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the idea.
Seems fine. I mean, yeah. What else are they going to do? You're totally right. I just like to play devil's advocate over here while you're in the land of...
No, I think you're just looking at the positive aspects of it, but there are also negative aspects of it that you need to take into account.
Sure. Let's talk about the movie, a couple updates. There's been a bunch of stuff, like videos released, like little bits of footage we've never seen, interviews with Duncan Jones, some of the cast, all that stuff. This thing is right
around
the corner.
I'm not watching any of it.
Are you avoiding everything? Is that true?
I'm still Unsullied.
Oh my gosh. You have no wiener then? Is that the deal?
You made that joke last week. It was already funny then, I have to say. It's even funnier today.
It keeps coming back. All right, so I'm not going to spoil anything, but they've been interesting. All of it gives me hope. And I've also talked to three additional close friends of mine who have, for one reason or another, been able to see the film ahead of time. All of them report, and said they'd kill me if I said their names, but all of them report that we are going to love it.
Get anyone's hopes up.
I know.
Just say it's going to suck, and then we go in and we love it.
And then maybe we'll all be surprised. Anyway, I keep hearing that. Other thing, they're doing these special event things at certain theaters. Are you doing any of that? Are you stuck in Japan when that's happening? I guess you are.
Yeah, I am. You know, it's coming out in France in what, like 3 days?
Yeah.
What day is it today? And yeah. I'm in the worst possible, well, that's not the worst possible time, but... between the Overwatch events and the Warcraft events, it's like I could have gone back to Finland or to France a little bit earlier, but
listen, man,
at the same time, I wouldn't have seen the amazing things I've seen today.
Your Unsullied state is going to be hard to maintain, is all I'm saying, because you're going to have
you think I'm gonna sully soil myself at some point? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, you're going to sully yourself. Don't do that. Anyway, that's all happening. There are still tickets available, by the way, for our local showing on June the 11th. That's frogpants.com/Warcraft. Also, there's
rumor- how is that possible? How is it not all gone?
Well, it's almost gone. There's not very many left. I mean, part of it is it's just a local event, so you know, getting as many locals as we can. And the truth is, however many we don't move, if we don't, that'll just be easy for me to say, hey, aunts and uncles and a few other friends, come on, you know, like I'll find homes for them. So if you want them,
right,
you gotta get them. frogpants.com/Warcraft. Come see me and Tom Merritt and Brian Ibbett and a few other people that you may recognize at the big event. All right, that's all that's really going on in WoW, honestly. There's not very much happening, other than, you know, beta's out, people are playing it, bugs are being reported, content is being injected. You'll soon have 10 more keys in the chat room. All of those things are happening. So we're going to talk about Heroes of the Storm for a second. Now, I don't know if you've played much since you've been there. Have you been able to play Heroes of the Storm since you've been in the Land of the Rising Sun?
A little bit, but not a lot. I'm hearing that Chromie is crap, though. Her win percentage is horrible.
Her win percentage is terrible. And she is, at the same time, incredibly fun to play. It's really frustrating because I think it's a... I don't know how that gets fixed. So, Chromie, everybody. She's the Dragonflight time lady. She's also a gnome, and she's... Okay, we all know the background. She's in Heroes of the Storm. I picked her up pretty immediately because I'm dumb that way. And I think she is an absolute blast to play. Her stuff to play is really, really fun. Her stuff to play. Her abilities, which range from... what's that thing called?
Sandblast.
No, the other thing, your talent that's always there. Her trait. her trait, Time Walker, is awesome because she gets all of her talents one level earlier than anybody else. That's pretty rad. She's got Sandblast, Dragon's Breath, and Time Warp. Sandblast is kind of what it sounds like. You conjure up a ball of sand, you throw it real hard, and it passes through everything and hits only heroes from very long distances. She's got a real range advantage. Dragon's Breath is cool. It's basically a non-telegraphed version of what KT does, what Kel'Thas does with his Flame Strike. But in his case, you know where that's going to hit because a circle appears, and it's not a lot of time, but you can get out of it. In her case, the time is spent with her conjuring it, so you can see her doing that, but you do not know where she's dropping it. Your team does, if you're on her team, but the other team has no idea. And then Time Trap, which I thought would be the boring thing, which is actually my favorite thing, which is this little hourglass you poop out wherever you want on the battlefield, and if opposing teams or characters run into it, they are put in stasis for I forget how many seconds. Let's see, 2 seconds, which is a lifetime in this game. And there's ways to upgrade that with talents to like poop out like 3 of those, and you can really screw people up with that. The only downside of stasis, like all stasis effects, is when they're in stasis, they can't be harmed either. So all you're really doing is taking somebody out of the fight, but it can be pretty crucial. Then for her heroics, which again she gets at level 9, she's got Slowing Sands, which is like this big swirling sand pit that stays up for as long as you want or as long as you have mana. It still pulls from your mana as it sits there, but it won't go away on its own, so you have to kill it or you die and it'll go away. But basically that slows anybody who gets into it. It's a great way of blocking out choke points and having people get stuck in this. Essentially, it's like quicksand. They can't move at all, hardly, and makes it real easy to tear them down. So there's some interesting strategy with that thing. The other one is Temporal Loop, which is kind of like the offensive version of Tracer's Recall. It's like you put this thing out there and you say to a dude, hey, wherever you were a couple of minutes or a couple of seconds ago, I'm going to put you right back there. Except you're doing it to them instead of Tracer doing it to herself. It's kind of like that, kind of reversed, I guess. Anyway, that's kind of the basics of her abilities, real basic. We go over this stuff in depth on Core, so if you want to hear that, go to the Core podcast at frogpants.com/core, where we go deep. But all of that being said, her kit is extremely fun, a little bit weak in chaotic moments, which may be the reason the win rates aren't happening. But by all accounts, she kind of blows. Like, she's not winning games. And I've seen it with players who are really good players, and we're cooking along, and someone on our team who's like our best player will play Chromie for the next 6 games, and we will lose 6 games in a row. Not because they're not good with Chromie. They lead all the damage boards. They lead some of the siege numbers. Like, they're totally killing it, but we're not winning games, which probably is a reflection that we're not winning the team fights we need to win because she is not great in team fights. So anyway, that's my take on it. I don't know what to think about her. It feels like this weird, I don't know, it's like you've fallen in love with somebody, but they have chronic gas or something, and you just can't, you know, how do you live with both? How do you live with both, Patrick?
That is a good, I think if you really love that person, then you stick with it. Uh-huh. Scott, I think you have to keep playing Chromie.
Okay.
Otherwise, you don't really, well, on the other hand, I mean, it's interesting because she usually, when heroes come out, they have, you know, 40, 45, 50, 55% win rate in that range. And anything above or below 45 or 55 is considered like it's not working out really well. And she has, 30 or 35% win rate?
That's bad.
It's really bad. But of course, you know, Blizzard is already working on it. Browder said they might be looking at something along the lines of increasing the health pool, I think, is what they're looking at for the moment for Chromie. It will be fixed. Mm. Obviously, it will be fixed. Yeah. But 30%, I think the recent heroes have been on the powerful end of the spectrum, you know, the past few heroes have been a little bit too powerful if they needed some adjustment. So seeing one that is so heavily misbalanced is interesting, but yeah, they'll fix it. And you can express your true love to the wind passing Chromie, you know, the winds of time will, or the sands of time, whatever, will be in your life again.
I wasn't excited about a gnome anything, and I've come to really like her. I think she's kind of adorable. I think she's funny, and her kit is super interesting, and the graphical effects around what she does is really cool. Like, there's lots to love about this character, but not her win rate, man. She's just sucking it hard. It reminds me, it's like the week after Lunara was released. A lot of people really liked her and liked what she represented, but didn't, you know, she wasn't winning games and was super tricky to get your head around, and she had a lot of mobility, but at the same time, she was made of paper. And what happened? Well, Blizzard tweaked and fiddled, and now she's, you know, I see her in more Hero League games than I ever expect these days.
Yeah, she's, I mean, I don't think it was that bad, was it, for Lunara?
Maybe not
it
this bad. 30%. Not quite this bad. No. It was well under 50. And most of them, I mean, truthfully, you can't, the first week's hard to gauge anyway, because first of all, we're looking at HOTS logs for our data, which isn't 100% accurate. Second of all, right, it's only been a week. And third of all, it's a new character. So that means people are getting their heads around him. Even the pros are trying to get their heads around him. Like, it's not so simple just to say, oh, we'll throw her out with the dishwater, or she's OP on either side of the scale. So, you know, it's a little early to say, but the general consensus is, of all of the new characters, she seems to have been launched at in the most disadvantageous position.
Yeah, I think when it's 30, you know, when it's 40, 45%, it's kind of, yeah, maybe it will change. But 30%, it would be very surprising.
Yeah.
Even if it's house log and incomplete and everything, it would be very surprising if all of a sudden it turned out that she was actually awesome and people didn't realize her potential, you know?
Yeah, but good job, Blizzard, for making me care about a gnome. Seriously, that is no small feat.
If nothing else, that is an achievement.
It's a shocking turn of events. Hey, party people. What's going on? Here to tell you about SeatGeek once again. Big thanks to these guys for sponsoring the show. I know you guys are into your sporting events, your, I don't know, concerts, stuff like that. Isn't it a huge pain to buy tickets online? Have you been frustrated by that task before? I know I have. Most sites make it very complicated, and they try to sneak in a bunch of huge fees at checkout. That's why you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. I wish they sold esports tickets. Hey, they still could. They might. They very well may. The only place I ever go to look for tickets online. Just get the app and try it out. Here's what you're going to do, though. I want you to get an extra $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. You know how expensive concerts can be. So this is going to save you some money. Here's what you're going to do. To get your free $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app on your smartphone. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter that code. That code is instance. One word. Instance. Well, of course, it's one word. It is one word. SeatGeek will then send you $20 after you've made that first ticket purchase. $20, man. Download the free SeatGeek app and get your code in there. That code is instance today. SeatGeek. Save some money. Do the thing you should want to do, which is save money on your next concert or sporting event. All right, as you heard at the top of the show, we played this.
Old habits die hard, I guess. Run home, kid. It ain't safe out here.
So last week we saw the Dragons short, right? I think we talked about it, didn't we? Yeah, we did.
Did we?
I think
I can't
we did.
Even, you know, I could talk about it again if we have to. It's okay.
I'll tell you what I did that was kind of fun. We had some neighbor kids over, friends of my kids, and we watched all of them back to back, including the original launch trailer. So the original intro cinematic thing they showed at BlizzCon 2014 while I was sitting next to you, as you recall. And, right? Weren't we sitting next to each other? Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
And, they were flipping out. And at the end of it, they went, why? Is this it? I said, yeah. No, this, you have more than this. No, this is all they've done so far. I mean, will they do more? Probably, but, you know, this is it. And they were losing their minds. Like, why isn't this a movie? Where's all the movies coming out? How come these aren't movies? So I'm just telling you, Blizzard, if you're listening, and I know many of you do, you got an opportunity there, man. These are real good. And people who don't play video games are freaking out about how great these little shorts are. So
I think they realize. I think that they know that they have. By the way, I don't think we talked about Dragons.
Did we not talk about Dragons? I thought we did.
I don't think so. Did we?
If we didn't,
I'm looking at the notes, and it's look. Chat room, can you tell us if we talked about Dragons last week? Because I don't remember. Anyway,
maybe
sorry,
we didn't. And if we didn't, then let's say that was unbelievable. So good in every way. You know, Metzen had told me it was his favorite, and Can't wait to show you this one. And wow, when that comes out, you guys are going to lose your minds. And he wasn't wrong. That thing is special. And is just so indicative of the quality of this stuff that I just want more of it. I feel like the Soldier 76 stuff is also great. They're all very different. I don't think any of these shorts could ever be accused of feeling the same. They all feel like very different stories being told in that universe to me. Very different tones, and I love that. And there's little tastes of things, like little tidbits, like this new one with 76, like he's smashing the guy's head pretty violently with a burning pinata. The same pinatas I blow out of the sky as I'm running to the point, because that's just something I do in the game. The very familiar battleground, everything looks like it does when you go to Dorado and that sort of thing. But it's just an absolutely fantastic thing, and people should watch them if you haven't already. Yes, Patrick, go ahead.
Oh, I think I love the dragons the most. This one, I think it was good. The pinata, by the way, after that, you see the face of the guy he's beating up. And when he was beating him up, I was like, oh my God, that is violent. And then you see his face and he's like, you know, sort of a little bit out of it. And he goes like, I thought I would have loved it. They had shown like his face completely bloodied with his nose broken and his eye out of his socket. And you're like, oh my God, that Soldier 76 is a psychopath. But obviously it's very Pixar-y, so
oh yeah, and they keep skirting that, like they're so careful with it, like who's getting the really dark treatment? Robots usually. So like when the gang is kicking that robot, that Omnic down there in the alley, it's really kind of harsh and terrible, but your brain goes, well yeah, but it's a robot. Right.
And also, even that robot, you know, he's not completely dismembered like a sort of, you know, like, I don't know, automata, whatever. You know, he's not dismembered and broken. He's still waving his head and going like, oh, please don't
help
me, evil gang people.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, oh, okay. So, but yeah, I understand why. Absolutely. But yeah, no, I thought it was fine. The dragons one, we're talking about Pixar influences. When you look at Hanzo's face throughout the dragons one, it is nonstop Pixar. You know, his expressions, the way when he's surprised, his eyes widen and his mouth opens, and the facial expressions are super well done. Very cartoony. Some people might, you know, not adore that, but even in the dragons, when at the end he shoots the dragon and Genji sort of reflects it, and everything you see in those, well, not everything, but most of the things you see in those shorts, you can do in game.
Yeah.
And you can actually reflect Hanzo's ultimate if you time it right and you're close enough.
Yeah.
So even that, you can do it. And I'm wondering, by the way, if some of the things we see in the shorts aren't abilities that were at one point in the game, like Hanzo shooting arrows that curve, yeah, you know, and hit behind a corner.
Yep.
I'm wondering if that was an in. And we know that Genji was a stealth character at some point. So when he disappears here and there in the short, I'm thinking it might have been inspired by his kit, before
yeah,
they changed.
Because back when they announced the shorts at this year's BlizzCon and they talked about him at that panel and stuff, that stuff was all well underway before many of the character changes that we see in the game now. So, like, you know, Bastion was a very different character last November than he is today. And by the way, for the record, he's not that OP. You can totally counter him. All you new players that played during the beta, calm down. Bastion's not that big a deal. He's not what he used to be. Like, you have no freaking idea. It's kind of like finding out, I don't know, it's like Diablo is now in the form of a poodle. Man, what a pain he is. I don't know how we're going to ever beat this poodle. And we're like, no. We remember when he was a giant red devil man from hell. Like, it was way worse back in the day, man.
Yeah,
anyway, I think it's pretty special. And speaking of which, I love that they incorporate not only maps from the game in these shorts, but the abilities are great. So if you want to see Hanzo do his taquito grill and you want to see what's-his-name do his reflective green thing, and you want to see and have them yell their thing when they do it, then you'll be happy to know in the Soldier 76 one that you also get his visor deal, although he does not say, I've got you in my sights, and it also doesn't last very long, but still it's a great nod to what the game you know, what you can do in the game, and giving you that, giving both players who've played it a feeling of, oh yeah, dude, I do that in the game, and also new players who've never seen it, they're going to have the reverse experience, and they're going to play the game and go, oh my gosh, just like that movie, just like that thing, his visor came out, and he freaking, you know, auto targeted everybody. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, I really like it. I think this one, it wasn't the one I like best. I think, I don't know, the Soldier 76 is really, he's like a shadow that appears sometimes and does stuff. And but at the end of it, I liked how they, I mean, that's the whole point of the short, but they humanize him a lot and they give him this, like, I'm sorry if you haven't seen it. We can spoil, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, on this show, hell yeah.
Okay. and actually, it's very expected. It's not like something super, you know, surprising, but when she says, you know, he saves her and he's like, old habits die hard, which is what you put in the intro.
Right.
And I can't remember. He says, like, I'm not a hero. And the little girl says, I think you are.
Oh, yeah, he goes, I'm not a hero, not anymore. And then he walks into the thing. Yeah.
And he's got this old man Morrison vibe. And, you know, he's like, I'm not anymore. As you said, like, with the voice and the thing, and when she says, I think you are, and it's, and she goes back, and you know, she rolls up the little poster and she's super happy, and you know, that made me think about how I feel when I'm playing the game. It's like I was trying to think how to explain how the game why I love the game so much, and what I came back to was the initial introduction, not short, but you know, the trailer, the intro movie. And there's the whole battle and the little kid that is so excited about the Overwatch heroes and all of this. At the end of the battle, everything's falling apart, you know, the things break, and he looks at around him and he goes like, that was awesome! And you know, that's how I feel after a game of Overwatch. I feel like I'm in this childlike fantasy of superheroes fighting one another, and there's this incredible battle that happens and incredible things that happen in the battle and crazy moments and amazing things, and at the end it's like, that was awesome, like it's fun, and it, and I'm one of those superheroes doing those awesome things, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why I love Overwatch so much. It's because of the way it makes me feel, you know?
I wonder if anyone listening can tell how excited we are about this game. I wonder if it comes over at all. Yeah, maybe not. Listen, I know enough about having conversations with various people at Blizzard, Metzen included, who where you see this passion to create a universe where heroes get to be heroes and people can look up to them. It's really important to them. And so some people see this stuff as like kind of surface and cheesy. I think they're missing the point. I think they are trying to paint a picture of background story awesomeness that is very optimistic, and not everything needs to be anti-hero, and not everyone needs to be horribly flawed, that you can have heroes to believe in. Like, this kind of idea harkens back to many of these creators in their teen years reading comics in the 80s and, you know, falling in love with you know, what was happening at Marvel at the time, and carrying that forward into their own world. And it's really pretty special, because you can get all cynical about it and go, ah, it's just too kiddy or something on the surface of it, or it's too, you know, it can be tropey at times and that sort of thing. But I am telling you, if you really want to enjoy yourself, just get all the way in, man. Just jump in that pool, soak up that cheesy shit and enjoy it, because it's great. It's freaking great.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of dark-ish a little bit things. When Mondata dies, is fairly, like, you don't expect that.
Yeah.
But certainly, I mean, I think it is cheesy. I think it is very tropey. But it's okay, you know? It's very much a kid's adventure that you can be a part of.
Yeah.
And in the chat room, Abandoned Cause is asking, he's saying, you feel that now, but do you think the game has staying power? I've played it for 300 hours, and I still want to play it. So
it's all I want to do. I think it's all I want to do right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, we're not here's what I'm saying. The game would stand on its own and be amazing, even just if you played it and that was it, and there was none of these shorts or backstories or characters, all right? But they have gone to such lengths to flesh that out on the back end of it that it makes the game even better than it would have been. But it holds its own. It is people have said, well, it's just a multiplayer shooter. Where's the campaign? There's a lot of questions about the future of this game, the future of a single-player component, or the future of a co-op component or something. And none of that's on the table, or at least in our view, where we can see it yet. But there is so much potential here. And the game that's already coming out is enough to make Patrick from France, doesn't like first-person shooters generally, not his favorite genre, makes him play it for 300 hours in alpha and beta stage. Like, it's insane what that game is.
Yeah.
It's more than just a shooter. It's more than these things. And I'm not trying to oversell it. I am just
it's
selling it.
It's a way of life, people.
It's a way of living.
It's more than a shooter.
That's right. It's a way of life.
But yeah. I think it's a very legitimate question. People saying, oh, but you don't have a single-player campaign. And I was wondering about this too. You know, at first when I jumped into it, I was really uncertain about how much fun it would be for me. As you mentioned, I play shooters here and there, but mostly single player campaigns. But I think a lot of people who have tried it have realized that actually, you know, some people might say, oh, but I still would like a single player campaign, of course. But I think a lot of people, I think most people play it and sort of realize, oh, I thought I wasn't going to be into a multiplayer, multiplayer competitive shooter, a multiplayer only competitive shooter. But actually, I'm having so much fun moment to moment in the game that I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And those people sort of go from, oh, I would like it to have this or that kind of feature to, well, actually, maybe it doesn't need it. Or at least, no, not at all as much as I thought it did.
Or they come away going, like for me, I came away when I got my teeth into it, I came away going, oh my gosh, the possibilities are endless. They could build this thing out forever and do amazing things to it. And Blizzard's good at that.
Yeah, that too.
You know, like they could keep making what I already think is the best shooter I've played since my Quake days. And I'm not kidding, man. Like, not since I was playing competitive multiplayer LAN Quake games in an office I used to work in, which was revolutionary at the time. Not since then have I felt this way. And it has brought it all back,
you know,
like a truck. It is an amazing feeling to have that back.
I'm reading so many, and you know, if you can, I think Blizzard fanboys, go ahead. Yes, I think on this game we absolutely are.
Oh yeah, dude, of course we are.
But I mean, I've read a lot of Reddit threads of just people spontaneously going to Reddit and saying two things: thank you, Blizzard, for making me excited about a game again. I haven't been that excited for a long time. A lot of people came to say this after the open beta when they could actually try it.
Right.
And a lot of people have said, I haven't been excited about game for, you know, forever. And I don't really play games all that much anymore. But this one, I, you know, for some reason, it grabbed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very strong indication. And now we've had many, many indications at this point that there is something special about this game. And when we were playing the beta, maybe we mentioned this in last episode, I'm sorry if I repeat myself, but when we were playing on our own, we were like, yes, we love it, but will the wider world love it? Is it just us because we have these specific types of taste?
Right.
And I think now it seems very clear that it's just an awesome game and it's going to sell a lot. It's going to be very successful.
Yeah, it's going to make a ton of money. It's going to do really well. And I will just use a small comparison that isn't really all that apropos, but I'm still going to use it. That's a French word, apropos, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
All right, look at me.
Look at you,
yeah, look at that.
Speaking French.
It's pretty good. Who knew I was bilingual? Anyway, so I'm more bi-curious. Wait, I'm more bilingual curious. There you go. That's what I meant to say.
There you go. You like other people's tongues is what you like.
Dehaka. I'm a big Dehaka fan. All right. So here's my thinking. I've been playing Doom. All right. This new version of Doom, right? Big surprise how good that campaign is. Incredible, actually. Maybe the best shooter campaign I've played since Doom, since the original Doom. It's really.
I'm hearing so, like, people, there are some people who love it and some people who hate it, and I don't know who to believe.
The hate, the haters, the haters are crazy. I don't know why they would hate this. It is, let me put it this way: if you liked what the original Doom did, and you were looking for a modern visceral version of it,
who didn't like the original Doom?
I know.
If you didn't. There are two reasons why you didn't like the original Doom. Yeah. One, you weren't born, which is a valid excuse. Two, you are an idiot.
You don't like fun. There you go. Yeah, you don't like fun, and I don't know what's wrong with you if that's who you are. But anyway, so come all these years later, and they put out a campaign that feels like it just embraces Doom entirely, adds a bunch of new wrinkles to it, but it never feels, it always feels like Doom in all the right ways. It's really fantastic. The multiplayer.
Is it as fast, though? Is it like.
Oh, it's very fast. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very fast, very twitchy. But the multiplayer in it is, I'm not going to call it terrible, but it is as average as you get. There's nothing special going on at all with the multiplayer. And my point in bringing this up is, I think it is actually hard to take to make a great single-player campaign and story-driven thing, and then put a multiplayer component on top of it that is equally as good. I don't think that works out very well very often. You could say, well, what about Quake? You've been talking about Quake. Quake single player was kind of terrible. It was move room to room and shoot a thing. It wasn't that great. I mean, I don't mean terrible, but it wasn't, for its time maybe, but it's not a really wonderful experience. What was great about Quake with multiplayer?
I liked it.
Well, of course you did, because it wasn't bad, but neither is this. That's my whole point. If your focus is on one, the other one tends to be average or okay enough.
Quake was the first full 3D environment FPS, and that was amazing.
Yeah, it was groundbreaking. It was incredible. Although, wasn't there one other one, and everyone always argues about it? There's one other. Well, I don't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Well,
that's a different topic for a whole different podcast. But point is, I'm really glad that what Blizzard's doing is focusing entirely on this multiplayer experience, building one of the best team games I've ever played. Then let them iterate on it. Let them build it out from there. I would rather have a awesome multiplayer game that then later gets some cool single-player elements or more cool multiplayer elements or whatever they want to add to it. Or I would rather have a really strong single-player narrative experience, but I don't want both at launch because it never is as good as the other half. It never is.
Oh, you did have a point. Excellent. It does make sense.
I got to it eventually. Some might say, like, what about Call of Duty? That was a good example. Call of Duty's probably and Call of Duty 4, to be specific, Modern Warfare, before all the sequels, and now they're all kind of the same. But that game did an amazing job. People forget how important this was. Did an amazing job of being a really compelling, really awesome single-player experience, and then making a multiplayer experience that pushed the genre in 100 different directions. It's so easy to poo-poo on Call of Duty now, but that game was revolutionary in many, many ways. I feel like, at least from a multiplayer perspective, this is the most important. This is the most fun I've had in a multiplayer game, and I can't tell you how freaking long. And I love Heroes, and I love co-op Diablo, and I love World of Warcraft, and I love lots of multiplayer games. But there's some special sauce dripping all over the top of this thing, and it's so good, Patrick. I just want to lick it.
All right, now I'm worried. Between your love of tongue and your proneness for licking, I'm starting to wonder about stuff. But no, yeah, I think there's, I mean, there are different ways of enjoying different things, and there are fun parts in every game. I think, again, we're coming back to what we were saying earlier. The predominant feeling that you get playing Overwatch is how much fun you're having, how much, you know, how enjoyable the actual specific gameplay is, and all Blizzard games have fun gameplay, but some of them, you know, you have the progression, the strategy, the building up your deck, the deciding exactly how skilled you are and taking the right talents in Heroes, and the chasing the items in WoW and Diablo, and you know, blowing up enormous amounts of monsters in Diablo. In Overwatch, it's really just about those tiny moments of fun chained together like immediately, and there's almost no downtime, and each nugget is like, each game is 10 minutes and you move on to the next one. It's really that fun bit that is nailed by that game.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So here we are on the eve of it. Everybody get excited. Tomorrow afternoon here in the States. I still don't understand why it got bumped up, but like 4 o'clock my time or 5 or something.
Yeah, it's because basically they're launching it at midnight London time. Mm. And they have to launch it at the same time in every region because you can play.
Oh,
actually,
right.
That answer is another one. But you can play for every region.
I forgot. You and I are going to get to play. You and I will always get to play this game together.
Yes, absolutely.
Holy crap. Brand new world, everybody.
Yeah, but I guess, the servers and versions and everything is the same in every region, so they just push the button everywhere at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's why it's different, actually different times at different places.
Chu Braca in the chat room made a very good point, something I was trying to make the point of, and it took me an hour to get there, but he said it in one sentence. You ready for this? It's short enough to be a tweet. It says, building a campaign mode and a multiplayer mode is highly expensive and labor-intensive for most game publishers. That's exactly why. It's extremely expensive.
Well, so the thing is, it's really catching. It's not it's not building one great game with multiplayer and single player.
Yeah.
You have to build two great games, and they are completely separate. And you have I think we mentioned it in a previous show, but it's easy to think, well, if you had single player in Overwatch, it would be easy. You just build a few levels and put some bots and you shoot them. That's it, right? Mm. Well, that's not a great game. That's a shooting gallery. You need a progression system, difficulty, and a script, a scenario. Do you go from different characters to different? I mean, it's two different games. You can't just slap it together and think it's going to be good.
Right. It's like saying, I don't know. There's a lot of things I could say. It's like saying,
saying something.
But I'll spend another hour explaining it, and then someone in the chat room will say it in 5 sentences. So it's fine. All right, so check this out. One last thing. I don't know if this happened anywhere near you, but have you seen any of these? I don't think they're in Japan, but these giant life-size action figures that are showing up all over the world that are like Tracer in a giant box and Genji in a giant box and stuff like that. Have you seen?
Well, I've seen the pictures. I haven't, and the stream didn't happen. I was sure there was going to be some kind of a dev Q&A stream, but
that was a bummer.
No, I didn't see those. I'm not, I'm not a big action figures fan. I think it's okay, but I'm not going crazy like apparently you are over those.
They're so cool, dude. I want one. Are you kidding me? Listen, if I could put like a life-size Genji box in my house, I'd make room to I'd put an add-on onto the house just to hold it in there. It'd be amazing. It'd be so cool. I mean, they'd look so detailed and like, I mean, that's what, it wasn't really scratching the itch of like, oh, I love action figures or I love collectibles. It scratched the itch of I like giant shit. Like, I love the idea of, like, when you're a you ever see a pencil? I mean, you've seen pencils, but have you ever seen, like, a big, big pencil? Like, a big
have
one?
Have I ever seen a big pencil?
Yeah, like, the one when they make them way oversized, or a telephone that's, like, big enough to, you have to pick the hands up with two hands. Like, there's even websites that specialize in this.
Oh, my God, I'm dying. Have you ever seen a big telephone? What are you talking about? Yes, I've seen big things.
But I mean like scaled up, like on purpose scaled up. Like
Yes.
You're a shrinking person and the world's getting bigger, you know? Like that's really, that's a childhood thing for me. I've ever been fascinated with that. And so when I saw these, I about lost my mind. I got so excited.
Yeah, I mean, they're cool. And there's some cool text on the back of it, like some caution warning text, which is really fun, and they're cool. I'm not saying there aren't, and a lot of people have been like very excited about those,
right?
But
I don't think anybody, the chat room's reacting, I don't think anyone's seen you lose it quite like that before. That's fantastic.
That's so funny.
That's fantastic. All right, there's all that she wrote regarding Overwatch. Just play it, be there, have it, let's play together, let's all win, let's all have the best time of our lives. That's all I have to say about that. All right, let's do a little bit of this.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
Time for the Town Crier. That's where we read your emails and play your calls. Today, it is two of one and one of the other. You send us calls at 801-471-0462. You leave a voicemail there and we'll play it on the show. That's 801-471-0GOB. You can also email us, theinstance@gmail.com. Let's play this one about, I don't know, this guy's got an interesting idea for world firsting in the game, and also the scaling that's happening. Well, maybe that's a different call. Anyway, here it is.
My question is, what are you guys' thoughts on the idea of Blizzard making Mythic raiding? Basically, for until someone gets a world first clear for like the final boss, basically everyone that goes in there, everyone's gear is normalized, everyone has the same amount of stats, and basically it doesn't matter what your gear is, an even playing field until someone gets the world first, and then the next Tuesday it goes back to being like normal. I just thought this would be pretty cool because then it would give it a full playing field for a shot at the world first on the boss field. Just want to let you guys, just curious what you guys thought about this. Thanks.
Okay, so you go in. You're all the same. You've all been normalized, as he put it, and you're all, you know, you're all on equal footing. And he means everybody who's competing for world first. You get world first next week; it's all normal again. That seems like an okay idea. But what I like more about his idea is the idea of normalized raids in some way. Wow! Did someone just what happened there? I heard a yell.
There's crazy Japanese people doing stuff. If I have to leave, please tell my wife I love her.
Wait, what happened though? It was like a yell, like somebody stole something or something.
No, it's just, it's the exact opposite. It's a bunch of salarymen, basically company employees in suits, being a little bit, like there's one person that ran a little bit and someone screamed at them because they were out of line. I think that's what happened.
Look, this is the problem with anime. This is what it does to your country. I'm just kidding. It's fine. I'm kidding. It's a joke.
But no, it's actually noon now in Japan, and so the people are coming out of the offices and going to have some food.
Oh,
so
very nice. All right. Well, anyway, my point is, like,
I apologize for the sound.
You're totally fine. But what do you think about the idea of normalizing gear in some form or fashion?
I wouldn't want it to be normalized completely for all raids, because a big part of the fun of WoW is collecting the improved gear, right? That's what you do, and especially when you go in higher levels, that's what you want. When you're at, you know, max level content, you're just chasing the higher gear so you can kill bigger monsters, so you can get better gear to kill the bigger monsters. So I think normalizing it for everyone would take something away from the game. However, I really like the idea of somehow working that normalized raid encounter when the raid opens. Maybe before, you know, you're ready to get it to everyone, you just make it so the competing guilds are trying to compete just on skill specifically. Mm-hmm. I really like this idea. It's kind of like the seasons that Dills was talking about last week. I think there's something there.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly sure how it would work or, you know, how it could be implemented, but there could be something fun to be explored.
That's true. They're already working on scaling in other ways. And in fact, we have another email, or call rather, about that.
Hello, Instance. This is Deathclaw calling from Emerald Dream Horde. Heard a lot of rumblings about possibly making the entire game scale, all mobs in all areas with scale. Does that mean that we would never be able to possibly run past anything without ever getting aggro again if it was a red? So you could be out in Durator or just outside of the Undercity, constantly just be getting ganged up on by mobs that are scaling up to you, which is something I definitely do not want. What do you think?
It's a good question. I don't think they've said how that's going to
work. I don't think anyone's discussed scaling the entire world. The new zone, the new expansion, the new continent, is going to be scaling according to your level, but it's only level, 100 to 110.
Right.
And there's no, certainly technically it could be possible, I'm sure, but they haven't discussed the possibility of scaling the whole world. And I don't think that would be desirable, exactly for the reason you're saying. You don't want, you want to feel like you're getting stronger at some point, right?
Yeah.
So having everyone at scale, the zone scale is fun in the same expansion because you can play with your friends, but then at some point there's going to be some things that don't scale, including the high level content and, you know, that kind of thing. And whenever we go to the next expansion, the Legion expansion is still going to be maximum level 110, not scaled to whatever comes next.
It'll be interesting to see if they, when you're level 110, what it will feel like in the new continent to just run around and do chores like I need to go gather this or I'm doing an achievement here or whatever, and see if how that feels differently perhaps in the starting zones, you know, the starting zones of level 100. Because if it truly scales, in theory, that stuff should be aggro. It should be a little harder to deal with. Like, that's going to be interesting. I mean, we won't know until we feel it, and maybe some in the beta or alpha can already tell us, or beta, I guess, can tell us. But as it stands right now, we don't know. So, I'm with him, though, that the whole world should probably not have this happen.
I don't see it happening. Maybe, you know, there could be some scaling, some instances of scaling for some things, but yeah, that becomes, it requires more work than just pushing a button and making it, you know, scale to level 105. You need to make it interesting as well, and I don't know that it's worth doing that specifically.
Yeah.
There are drawbacks.
Why do you want to fly to Shattrath and get attacked by a level, you know, nothing thing that can now kill you? That'd be weird. All right, nice call. We got an email from Tony S. Tony S. Maybe it's Tony Shalhoub, famed actor. He played Monk on TV. Maybe that's who this is. Probably not. He says this. Will it be possible to play my friends in other regions in Overwatch? I think we just answered that question. The beta let me do it, but I don't think we've heard for sure regarding the final release of the game. Well, we've already answered your question, Tony. Absolutely,
yeah.
You can.
It was actually sneaked in. It was a surprise. We didn't realize it was going to happen. I already in Overwatch, you don't really have progression outside of cosmetic stuff.
Yeah.
So logged into the US and realized that I kept my progression, and that's going to happen in the live game as well. I hope that at some point they do that for other games too. Like, I would love to play Heroes or Hearthstone with people in the US. But yeah, the way it works, it's not like PSN or Xbox Live. You don't have one giant friend list that includes everyone in the world. There are some technical reasons why they can't do this, apparently. But it's the next best thing. You maintain two or three different lists, two or three different networks, Europe, Asia, and US. But you can choose within the game to log into any one of them, and you retain your progression from Overwatch, which is not the case in Diablo or Hearthstone or Heroes. If you can choose to log into a different region as well, but you don't have the account that you're playing on. You have to make them progress in each region separately.
Okay. Well, it's all pretty plain, and hopefully that's good for you, Tony. Sounds like it is. Quick note, we should have... I'm working on it. It's hard because of all this launch stuff, so it's a little bit nuts right now, but I'm trying to get Chris to sit down for a follow-up interview since the last time we spoke about Overwatch and talk about where that game's at now that they're launching. Get some of his thoughts about where they've been, where they're going, and what we might see in the future of this game. So watch for more of that coming soon on this very feed. Do some sort of special with that. So that's coming up soon. It's going to do it for your emails and calls. Again, 801-471-0462 is the phone number, and you can email us theinstance@gmail.com. Patrick, despite all of the lovely schoolgirls that are giggling around you because they are impressed by you or whatever, what's happening in your end of the world? Where can people find more Patrick this week?
Not Patrick on Twitter and Facebook. I might be a little bit spammy about Overwatch more than usual or because of the launch. So if you don't enjoy that, stay away from it. However, you can also find my shows at FrenchSpin.com. You have Pixels, which is a show about video games. We had an episode last week with Zuj EX, which is an excellent analyst, and we went over the tendencies of the industry. And also, I gave my thoughts about Uncharted in unspoiled and spoiler ways. So if you want to hear about that, go to FrenchSpin.com. And Uncharted is really interesting. It's a pretty good game.
I like that game a lot. I think it's real good. I think the multiplayer is also really good, by the way, in that game.
Yeah.
Anyway, more on that on Pixels. And of course, there's going to be coverage of E3 by Patrick and I. We did this last year. It turned out to be a popular thing we did. So we're going to do it again. Patrick and I and possible other guests will be covering as much of the E3 stuff as we can, the conferences, all of that with live commentary streams and other commentary and other show stuff. So watch for that in June, everybody. That's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's the reason Patrick's coming home from Japan. So he can...
and actually, the Sony conference is really late, so I'm going to have to be awake through the night anyway. So there you go.
That's right. Look at the sacrifices he makes. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Don't leave chat room, because right after I do the sign-off, you're getting 10 Legion keys. So you'll be able to get into the beta right now. Just hang around and don't leave. All right? I just want to make that clear. Big thanks to everybody for being here. TheInstance.net is our website. At Instance Show, at Scott Johnson, at Willie Deals, at the underscore T, at underscore, or, sorry, at Not Patrick. But for today, just Not Patrick and Scott Johnson. We showed up, damn it. Here we are in all our glory, naked with our wieners out. We're here. We're unsullied.
What?
I don't know.
How did you know?
I don't know. I can just tell. And Japanese people are really into that publicly.
Right. That's why the schoolgirls were giggling. Wait, no, that's not good.
What? Yeah, and they're laughing at you, dude. You got a little tiny, Gochu or whatever they say over there. That's Korean. Sorry. That's Korean for a small shriveled up pepper, I think.
All right, then.
It's a great way to end it. Thanks, everybody. Chat room, stay put. We'll be right back with you guys. In the meantime, everybody come on back next week for a brand new episode of The Instance. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, for everybody else. We'll see you next time.
Bye, Patrick.
Miscounted mileage metrics mischief causes healers to throw a bit of a fit. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. One advantage that soldiers of the Alliance have over their Horde counterparts is the fact that King Varian Rin believes in universal health care for all that fight for him. Those injured on the battlefield are quickly evacuated to nearby mobile emergency sanctuary haven units, known as mesh units, for treatment by the priests and paladins of the Blue Staff Blue Shield Order. Because of the mesh acronym, soldiers refer to this as their safety net. But in return for this excellent care, the healers ask that soldiers do their part by staying in good shape so they can make quicker recoveries. To incentivize this, all Alliance troops are given magical bracelets that track the number of steps they take to ensure they are exercising daily. But now a scandal has put the whole program in question. It turns out that many soldiers have hacked their bracelets to count the steps they take after dying as they make the long runs back from the graveyard. Needless to say, steps taken while a ghost do not improve the health of a soldier's body, but records show a direct correlation between high death rates and winning prizes for high average daily step counts. The king is rightly furious over this subterfuge and has decreed that all those caught cheating will be required to make up the falsified steps by going on forced marches in full combat gear until they are dead tired.
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.